She had a question that I want to ask you. She had a question at the back that I want to use. And as you, I'm not going to have you say your name because we're already done, but I want you to start just telling me. You may have looked at this question and thought about it. When I looked at it, I thought, and then as I kept reading and thinking, I thought, oh, wow, there's a whole lot more. What word could you give? I see how she worded it at the, personal reflection part. Let me get back to chapter 5. There it is. What word would you use to describe darkness? What word? Just one word, and you can kind of shout them out. What word would you use to describe darkness?
Sin.
Mm-hmm. Disorientation. You're disoriented. Okay. Creepy. Mm-hmm. Pardon? Deep depression. Mm-hmm. A hardening. Okay. And this darkness can be darkness in any way, spiritual and physical darkness. So, destitute. Okay. Dreary. Dreary. Frustrating. Janelle? Pardon? Helpless. Have you ever gone someplace like to a hotel and all the lights are out and it's dark? I mean, pitch dark. How do you feel? What? How would you describe that feeling? I've gotten out of the bed scared. Scary? Fearful?
Suppressed?
Isolated? Anxiety? Uncertain? Mm-hmm. All these are great words for darkness. Did you ever think, when I read that question, I thought, well, black? What else? But the more I thought about it, look at all the words that we have that describe how you would feel if you are in darkness. We were walking before it got cold and dark in the day, and as toward the fall, the night was coming quicker, we would be walking. And I remember one time I got behind Harry and he went on. We walked the golf course and I had to go to the restroom, so in the middle. So I went but he went on. Well, it got darker and darker, and you feel like. I think it's also with age, you don't see as well in the dark as you did, before. And I felt like I was doing this. One step and holding my hands, and one step and holding my hands. And, I did get fearful. I got afraid that I didn't bring my phone today. I don't have a flashlight. I didn't have my phone to do this. And I thought, oh, please just turn around and come back and get me, Harry. But he didn't. He didn't realize I was in this distress, He could see, so I could not. But those are the things you feel in the darkness. What are some words to describe light? Joyful.
Happy.
Peace. Content. Secure. You can see things. Mm-hmm. Clarity. That's a good way of you can see things. Relief. Comfort, beautiful. Mm-hmm. So you know that darkness is the absence of light. Black is the absence of color, other colors of light. And so light does what to the darkness? It dispels, is the way we say it with Scripture. Light dispels the darkness. And so this is what we're talking about today. We've had some other opposites in talking about us as God's people. What are some of the other opposite terms we've used? Light, you walk in light or darkness. What else? Obedience and disobedience. What else? Was it last week or the week before we talked about walking in the flesh or the spirit? Anything else? Old man and new man. So the Bible has given us a good many contrasts between being dead in our sins, death, and alive in Christ. We are a, what was our first? We were a new creation. We were an old creation which was full of sin and death and darkness and all of that because of Adam's sin. All men are dead in their sins. But he has made us not only alive, but alive as a new creation because he's given us a new heart, taken out that heart of stone and put in the new heart, the redeemed heart. Okay, good. All right, so let's look. I want us to just go through our memory verse, if we're doing that, is Ephesians 5:8. For at one time you were dark. It's not you were in darkness. At one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. But I want us to go back to the first part. I want us to read through Ephesians 5 up through maybe all the way through 21, and just kind of take it apart, because that's the gist of this whole chapter, is this idea of being light and not being darkness. Okay, and I will read and make some comments, and you feel free to raise your hand and make a comment too, and I'll repeat it for everybody else. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 1. Therefore, In Ephesians, the first chapter gives us the Trinitarian view. It talks about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he praises God to the praise of his glory and grace as he describes the function of each part of the Trinity. And then he talks about how we are saved in chapter 2. Remember, you were dead, but God, rich in mercy, saved you. And he talks about, we talked about, for by grace are you saved, and we are made to be, was it last time we met, his workmanship. And then chapter 3 talks about the mystery that it's not, this salvation is not just for Jews, it's for the Gentiles, it's for the world. And but they didn't understand that. So this was Paul is saying, this is what this gospel is for. It's for all men. And then he prays for them. And then in chapter 4, he talks about the body, the church, the unity of the body, and how we work together, and how he has gifted the body with pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets comes first. And then he's in 5, he's starting to give us instruction. As Paul often does in his books, in his letters, he gives doctrine, then instruction. This is the truth. This is what God is teaching you. And this is how you apply it to your life. Okay? And then, after what we're going to look at, he talks about specifically to different groups, husbands, wives, children, slaves, masters. Then he goes into the armor of God for us. Now, we're not going into all that. But that helps us as we realize that in the end of chapter 4, he is beginning to tell you to put off and put on. Put off old speech, put on new speech, be kind, be tenderhearted to one another, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Then he says, therefore, all of this truth that's been in chapters 1, 2, and 3, and 4, therefore, how do we do this? Be imitators of God as beloved children. We're part of his family, right? He sees us as his child. We've talked about that. And so be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. Now, where have we talked about that before? As we're imitating God, he says he did what? He gave himself up as a sacrifice and an offering to God. Where have we talked about us and our... What? I didn't catch that. The Romans? Oh, in Romans. A living sacrifice, yes. In Romans, we talked about in being stones, that we were part of the temple, and that we are called to bring praise and honor and glory. And we talked about then we now are a living sacrifice, even as Christ was a living sacrifice. And our offering and sacrifices are the praise of his name and his glory and to tell it to all around us, the whole world. So we are to imitate God, imitate the imitators of God and of his son Christ as he gave himself up as a fragrant offering. Then he says, here's some things we don't do. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as it is proper among saints. Let therefore be no filthiness or foolish talk or crude joking, which are all out of place. I'm going to stop right there. But instead, what are those things? Where do you see all those things happening? Huh? In the media? Well, in dark places, don't you? You know, did your mom ever tell you nothing good happens after midnight? You know, that the darkness, all these things that he's talking about here, sexual immorality, covetousness, all these things, filthiness, crude, foolish talking, take place in the back corners, the back room, in the darkness. We're not darkness any longer. We're light. But instead, you, saints of God, you, let there be thanksgiving. Isn't that a sacrifice of praise? Thanksgiving for what God's done in your life. Thanksgiving for who he is, and praise him. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetousness, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Now, what he's saying is there not that there can't be this type of person in heaven, because later on, in another place, he said, such were some of you. But if they have not come to know Christ and are no longer walking in darkness, when you come to know Christ, you are no longer walking in darkness. Or are darkness, you are now light. So what he's saying is these who continue in this disobedience, you understand that? He's not just saying that, I mean, if no covetousness person can enter the kingdom of heaven, many of us may still have that hanging on as a sin. You see what I'm saying? But you have put it aside, put it back. You are killing it as a new believer, as a believer. Therefore, but if this is their pattern, if this is their life, and this is who they are, therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time, you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. So you see what he's saying? He's saying that was you, that could have been, you may not have been in this sexual immorality, but you were in the darkness. You were dead in your sins. And but by the grace of God, you would be where? Right there with everybody else doing everything else they're doing. And in this time, after Christ had died and was crucified, this would and risen, and ascended into heaven, in this time in the 60s and 70s and 50s A.D., there was a lot of darkness, much like there is now. Remember in Rome, it was getting to be worse and worse, and I don't know exactly when Rome kind of fell, but fell in the sense of all the immorality and everything. But it fell because of all this darkness, and the light was not there. Winning out, you might say. So try to discern what's pleasing in the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead do what? Expose them. Shine the light. So what is that? Well, let's read on. For it is shameful even to speak of the things they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. So he's saying, you live and shine the light. You be a big flashlight. Not just one of those little teeny ones, not just the one on the phone, but one of those great big lights they shine up on a football field. You be that light that shines in the darkness. I grew up Baptist, and the GAs, how many of you were GAs? What was our verse, our theme verse? Arise, shine, for thy light hath come. I want to read the second verse too, Isaiah 60, verse 1. Where am I? Yeah. I thought about this when I looked up awake, and I thought, well, yeah, somewhere that arise, shine is in there. Where was it? Arise, shine, for Christ's sake. I had to go through the whole thing to remember. Arise, shine, for your light has come, Isaiah 60, and I'm going to read 1 and 2. And the glory of the Lord has risen upon you, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and the thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you, and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. So he's talking here to Israel, to the country, but it's also applicable to us as people. Arise and shine. Our light has come. God is in us, and we should be shining out that light. Your light has come, and by your light coming, then, as it says there, nations will come to you. Well, you may not bring nations to you, but you will bring people to you. They will see you and glorify God for your good works. That's in Peter. That it says that even if you are persecuted for your righteousness, even if you have been accused and you've done nothing wrong, it is different than if you're accused and you've done something wrong, you've disobeyed, you've broken the law, then you deserve punishment, right? But Peter says, if you are accused and have done nothing wrong, even Christ was, and you count that as a worship to him, you count that as you take it and you let your light shine without, you know, being angry, being mad, but knowing that you are being suffered for what you have done, suffering for your righteousness. So, that light, that shining, that's us rising and shining and walking in the light, even as Christ is in the light. And then he gives us some more things, steps to do. Look carefully, verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. There's another opposite, wise and unwise movement. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. All right. This is some of the how-tos, and we're going to talk about them in a little bit. How do you know how to walk in truth? How do you understand what the will of the Lord is? To be controlled by the Spirit. Okay. The Spirit leads you. What else? His Word is one of the tools that God gives you. The Spirit and the Word work in us to teach us, to show us what is walking in light. So he says, therefore, do not be foolish, but be wise. And you're wise by understanding what the will of the Lord is. And you find out what the will of the Lord is through prayer, through reading the Word, through the Spirit working and pouring out, and through all the means of grace. What are some of the means of grace? Of course, the Word and prayer, but what else? Preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, fellowship of believers. You have other believers that are sharing what they've done, how they've lived, how they handled this situation. You're sharing. So you, the Bible studies, yes. Mm-hmm. And even the communion, the sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper, are tools of the Spirit of God to pour himself into us and to give us information, to give us teaching so that we know how to live. Okay, says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but instead be what? Filled with the Spirit. Instead of going after other things that seem to make you happy, be filled with the Spirit. So, take in, drink in the Word of God, drink in the preaching, just as you might drink in wine. Okay, see the analogy there, the comparison there? But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another and hungering for God's Word. But be filled with the Spirit. This is one thing, I sort of number when I'm in here. Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another. How? In psalms, hymns, and spiritual psalms. singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So he's telling you four things. Be filled with the Spirit. Address each other with singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual. Now, that doesn't mean we just sing to one another like you do in a musical. But it means that our hearts are glad and we're sharing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And when we're not reading the scriptures, how can you fill your mind with them even though you're not sitting down and reading the scriptures? What way is it? What better way to memorize something than to sing it? Isn't it? We're older Goldie people, so we know all the words to all the older Goldie songs that some of you younger people probably never heard, except unless your mom and dad played them all the time or they listened to the older Goldie stations. But the hymns that you learned growing up, the songs that you learned growing up, you still know all verses of them. You hardly have to look at the hymn book, right? If you grew up in a church, particularly a Baptist church, that every Sunday night you got to sing favorites. And half the time they were the same ones every Sunday. You know, old so-and-so always wanted, you know, to God be the glory or something like that. But if you have those things in your heart, they come out. I know we went through this really difficult time with one of our children. And in the middle of the night, there was a praise song about giving glory to God. I don't remember what it was, but that was in my mind. Anytime I knew that I was awake, or even when I didn't. But, you know, sometimes you're asleep, but you have thoughts that run through your head. I don't have that very often because I'm a deep sleeper. But that song was in my head all the time, and it reminded me that God was still in control. You know, I wasn't. So singing songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord, that's two. Number three is giving thanks always. Giving thanks. You know, Paul says, I give thanks to you always. He says that many times when he talks, does these letters. My prayer is for you. I pray for you and give thanks for you always. And so we need to be in an attitude of prayer, of talking to God, but we need to have times of prayer, not just an attitude of prayer. We need to talk to him. And then submitting to one another out of reverence. Now, I think, I can't remember exactly, but this chapter, I know, has a lot of one another passages in there. We talk about being part of the body in chapter 8, which I imagine we're going to have a lot of one another passages. And you've done Bible studies on the one another phrases in Scripture. What is, love one another. We're going to look at a few of those at the end of the chapter. So you see what he's saying. You were once in darkness. You once were darkness. But now you are light. And how is it that you were to walk in those lights? He says, be imitators. He contrasts the light and the dark, and he exhorts us to walk in the dark. And so, again, to walk in the light, excuse me. You know, when Harry does that kind of thing, just let it go over. But I'm going, you said the wrong word. It's usually just one word. Sometimes it's somebody's name, and probably most people don't catch it, but I do. Because as he said, I think I can do it better than him, right? Wasn't that a Sunday phrase that he used? Okay, so as we look at our book and what she talks about, of course, where does this darkness come from for man? Were we created darkness? No. We were created in God's image, and we were created with no sin. God didn't create you don't make a toy that has a kink on it. You don't make a potter doesn't make a pot that has, no way of getting into the pot, cover the top. You know, he makes it perfect. He made us perfect. But what happened, I think somebody said, sin entered the world, and as Harry said, I think it's when he was talking to the college class last night, as he said, the thought went right out of my head. He said, God made us, how was it he worded? Oh, Satan comes to us, and he didn't say, you, or he says, you, if you eat this fruit, you will be what? Like God. Adam should have come back and said, we already are like God. He made us in his image. But he didn't listen, and he didn't obey, and so sin came into the world. And that's where we get this darkness, because sin is, somebody said, first of all, what is darkness? And they said sin. So we are born in darkness. We're born dead in our sins. Okay? So that's where it comes from. And now, she said, you end up with two things when you're born dead in your sins, which all of us, we're born legally guilty and corrupted. What do those terms mean? I think that's important for us to understand. What does it mean that in before we become a Christian, we are guilty? Guilty of what? Everything. We're guilty of sin. We're guilty of trying to be God ourselves instead of just be like him. Because here we started this first verse in Ephesians 5 that said to be what? Be imitators of God. Oh, he wants us to be like him. That's how he made us. But we aren't going to be God. And that's what Adam wanted. That's what Satan offered him, was to be God. That's really what he was saying. You can be your own God. So guilty. We're guilty of every breath we take as being dead in sin, as being dead. The Bible says there is no one righteous. No, not one. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So in our sinful state, in our unbelieving state, we can do no righteousness. Everything we do is sin, and we are guilty. How can we get rid of that? We can't on our own. We work. You know, the question in all of the Old Testament, as you read through it, is how can a man, what? Be right with God. They kept asking. Job keeps his friends. He keeps saying, how can a man be right with God? And in the prophets particularly, how can a man be right with God? And so we have that question. And then what does corrupted mean? I thought it was interesting to use that word and for us to think about what is corrupted, to be corrupt. What does that mean? Pardon? Flawed, okay. Mm-hmm.
Screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
Dirty.
Mm-hmm. It's where sin is. It's complete. It's all the way in there. Corroded is a good word. How many of you have heard? Oh, that file's been corrupted on your computer. Or your hard drive is corrupted. It can't be used anymore. It's damaged. It's not being able to fulfill its purpose, right? It's corrupted. And we think of somebody who is corrupt as they were supposed to be, you know, hold this office and obey the rules of that office, but they have become corrupted and now do things wrong. Dishonest, that's the word. They do things dishonestly for their own gain sometimes. So we have been corrupted. Our nature that was made in the image of God. And I can't remember this. Four ways we're in the image of God, so I'm not even going to try. I have to go back to the catechism and look it up. Our nature that was like God has been corrupted. It is not. We are marred, is what we say in the catechisms. It's marred now, corrupted. How do those things, by being saved, how do they get taken care of? By God's grace, we are saved. We're brought out of darkness into light. We become dark. We are no longer dark, but we are light. And what is it that changes us? It's the work of Jesus Christ. His work on the cross, his atoning death has made us, when we stand at the judgment day, and the judge says, you've done all these things, Jesus will say, they are innocent. I've taken the penalty. He is not guilty. I have taken his penalty, and I've redeemed him. And then we are made, our verse at the very beginning, we are now a new creation. We are no longer corrupted. We are now a new creation. We are now returning to God's image. Now, we're not perfect yet. We have to continue on our road of sanctification, right? We've had justification, and now we're on the road of sanctification. So throughout our lives, we are growing in grace. We are growing, and we sin less. We fall down, and God forgives us. But none of us are perfect until when? Until we are in glory with Him in heaven. So we're on that road, which is why Paul has to, Paul and the other writers tell us how to live. How do you kill sin in your body? How do you mortify sin is the word they use theologically. How do we remove sin, ourselves, and get rid of that sin? Right. We can learn how to stop sinning because the Spirit's working with us. There are things we can stop doing that we can realize that was sin. That my lying is a sin. I have to quit this pattern of lying. But the Spirit gives us, because the Spirit is in us, we can do that. We couldn't do that by ourselves before. I remember oftentimes there are people who will come and commit a sin and come and go, but I can't help it. I can't do it. I try, but I can't until God is in you. No, you can't. You really can't. Oh, yes, right. You don't. And so that is the Spirit, at least, convicting you of sin, but without Him, you can't recognize it and you don't know it. And you think you're just all right. Well, everybody else does it. You find a way to justify it when somebody calls you out on it. The scriptures are here to teach us not only how we have salvation, but then how are we then to live? The commandments, what do we have? The first five commandments are what? Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And the second five commandments are what? How do you live? Love your neighbors as yourself. How do you live in this land? So that's what Scripture is teaching us. She says, we are guided by the light of the Word and by the Spirit. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what? And glorify your Father in heaven. Again, why are we here? To bring glory to God, glorify the Father who is in heaven. And so L is one of our ABC Bible memory verses. And so we sing This Little Light of Mine. So do y'all want to sing? This little light of mine. We'll just do the first verse. I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. That's all we'll do. Very good, ladies. You did an excellent job. I'll have you in choir next week. So we work, we shine. Sure. Okay. Y'all come on. Y'all would be great in choir. I love it. They do that every once in a while when we had a choir. When we sing, that we would have the deaf come and sing and sign in front of us, with us. It is a radical thing to be walking in the light. It is against all of the darkness, and it is a radical lifestyle. How do we do it as we walk day by day by day? She worded it, when I've looked down, this just comes up. She worded it as radical nature, and that you live by obeying as you go along. I called it doing the next right thing. Those of you who know the Kynards know that they had Dr. and Mrs. Kynard had a son, Jay, who died he was in his 30s, right, I think. And at the funeral, I'll never forget, all the men that he worked with, the various companies he did deals with, what stood out in every one of their minds, it seemed, and particularly the ones he worked with, when we'd go, what are we going to do next, Jay? He'd say, do the next right thing. We don't have to go, way down and go this plan, but what is the next right thing to do? So, and that's good for all of us. How do you
How do you teach a baby to walk? Take one step at a time, and then the next step, and then the next step. And for us, oftentimes we're faced with things that are overwhelming to us, overwhelming choices we have to make, overwhelming decisions about whether we tell the truth or whether we lie or whether we just don't say anything at all. Ask God to give you the next right step and rely on what His Word has told you. Don't forget what His Word has told you. Don't suppress it. But, you know, ask God to raise in your memory even those things that you can remember what is the next right step. And so that's how we walk in the light. We walk with the Scripture. So if you want to know what the next right step is, what do you have to do? Read the instruction book. How many of you tried to put something together without an instruction book? That drives me crazy. And even with the instruction book, sometimes instruction books are not real good. They're not detailed enough for me, and they don't say exactly what you do. Not the Word of God. It is there for us. It's clear. It's detailed. It is there for us to know what the next right step is. And so, but you to know it, you've got to be in it, right? You've got to make a commitment to be in the Word of God and to take it in daily and take it in through good teaching, through listening on the radio to good teachers. A lot of people on the radio are not good teachers, or tapes or whatever you listen to. This has been really fun for me. I sew, and sometimes I'm up there for hours sewing. And we're remodeling and all that. And so all the CDs that we have from all the years are upstairs. And I'm thinking, do we need all these? What do we need to do? So, and we don't have a CD player anywhere. It's one that's connected to the TV. You know, and so if you play it, you have to hear it on the TV. Well, if somebody's watching TV, you can't listen to your CD. Or on my computer has a CD drive. But then I'm in the middle of the room with everybody else. So I went and bought a $29 little boombox. Said, I'm going to do this and redeem the time of sewing. It won't, you know, because I can listen. And so I've been going through all of our, I don't go through the Civil War songs. They can go somewhere else. But I've been listening to all of our CDs, and some of them, you know, they go in the trash can. Some of them are going to, where is there somebody I can give these to? I don't know. But I've had the best time listening to all kinds of music. Yeah, the other day, we have a CD, those of you who are older will know, Tennessee Ernie Ford. Remember his deep bass voice singing hymns. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And so, you know, I'm filling that space where normally I'm just sitting there sewing. Now, sometimes I better concentrate or I'm going to cut wrong. But it's that. Do we think about doing that, you know, in our life? Do we put CDs or Christian radio in our car when we're in our car? Do we put the Manners CD by this Christian lady that gives manners in your car when you have your grandchildren? And now Mitchie knows them. Well, they all know them all, but Mitchie's the one who's now listening to them, and she loves the Manners CD. So do you use things like that for to encourage yourself and to fill yourself with Scripture? And some of the ones that I love are the ones that just take a psalm or Scripture and put it to music. And then you remember it. You hear it over and over again, and you remember it. So that's one of the things that I have been doing to try to fill myself so that what you, Jesus tells us that what you say, what comes out of your mouth as a person is because of what you've put into your heart. And so are you filling yourself with light? She says, we various ways we shine. And on pages 81 in the Digging Deeper part, she says, what does light do? And it shines. And I loved her illustration that, and you may remember that commercial She says, I remember it, where a son is busy fighting off something and the mom calls and says, hey, there's squirrels in the attic or something like that. And he says, Mom, call me back later. I'm busy. And she calls him back. There's squirrels in the attic. And the end thing is, moms call their sons at inconvenient times. That's just what they do. And have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, oh, what you did for me was so, I just appreciate it so much. And you think, I didn't do anything. Because it was just what you did. It wasn't something that was special. I mean, you didn't, to you it wasn't something special, but it was what your nature was to go up and say, how is that, you know, I've been praying for you because you gave me this prayer request 4 months ago. What's going on? And to the person that you said it to, it's very special. And to you, it's special, but it's just what you do. As believers, what part of your life is just what you do? It should all be that. What you do because of what's in you. She says, we shine when we speak the language of light, when we bring words of encouragement, words of praise. First catechism, shorter catechism, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. To give glory to Him, to give praise to Him. And I loved it because I've even messed up on the way down here and on the way wherever we went last night. She said, when somebody pulls in front of you in the car, do you go, what in the world are you doing? Oh, yeah. You do. I mean, you want to get rid of that kind of speech. You want to let the words, the chapter above, few verses before I made my children memorize this. Let no, and of course in the New American Standard, it's unwholesome. Here it's corrupting. Let no corrupting talk, it's verse 29 in chapter 4. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So light shines through our talking, the things that we say to one another, the timeliness of saying it. There's a lot of times we can say right things, but not at the right time, and it can hurt, whereas at the right time it may not hurt. She gives Hebrews 13:15, through Him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. So we want to, you know, give praise to Him and acknowledge that He has done this thing. I didn't do it. I know years ago, and one of the books I had read, the author was talking about going on a God hunt with her children. Like in the everyday things that happen in life, a God hunt, look for what God is doing. Don't always go, oh, that's real good. That car pulled out in front, car pulled out of that parking space so I could pull in. God gave me this parking space. You know, we've been trying to find a parking space and we needed one in a hurry. God gave me a parking space. Look for the ways God is working daily. Have your children pray for the needs that you have. And don't just go out and buy a refrigerator because you think you need one. I mean, if it's broke, you definitely need to do something. But pray and have your children pray so that as God provides, you can say to them, see what the Lord has done. See what the hand of the Lord has done for us and how He has answered our prayers. He may have answered yours, but if they don't know that you prayed for it, how do they know? So the language of light is shown forth in how we speak. Now, and how are we guided by the light? We've already talked about this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And then I thought about this from Sunday. She talks about Matthew 17:15 says that the transfiguration, when God says, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. Remember what Harry said? Mary did not recognize Jesus. She thought he was the gardener until he said her name, Mary. And he opened her eyes. Listen to God. And he says, in the whole Easter story, it's come and listen. Come and listen. Listen to God. Listen to what the Spirit's saying to you, what he's bringing thoughts into your mind. Listen to what the Word is saying to us. So open our eyes and listen. Open our ears and listen. And we shine when we do good for the glory of God, because we are the light of the world, doing good. And then he talks about the radical nature, and he gives us Luke 6:35-36. But what? Love your enemies. That's the radical nature. It's easy for us to love our friends and love our family and love those who love us, but love your enemies. And do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful as your Father is merciful. And then we shine when we love. And this is the idea. She gave several verses for loving one another. How do we do that? You think of one. Can you think of one? You can look here on page 86 and do one of those. But think of one about loving, how our love is showing light. We love one another. We forgive each other just as Christ forgave us. Don't hold those grudges that last a lifetime and bring separation between friends or family members. Love one another. Forgive one another. What else? We give hope. Love one another by encouraging them and giving them words of hope. Words not of despair, or that that's not going to happen. Words of hope that God, our God, is powerful. Okay, what else? Spending time with one another. That's giving love. Yes. Anything else? Any others you think of? Being patient. Yes. That's hard, isn't it? Being patient with one another is showing love to each other. Let's just look at these on page 86. Okay. All right, do the best you can. And in the Bible, do the best you can. Live right and follow His will. Yes. Live in harmony with one another. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer. That's been hard during this year, hasn't it? A lot of people want to pass judgment on a lot of other people. But shine the light onto your own heart to keep evil from influencing you. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. It's hard for us at Briarwood right now to be able to welcome people because we can't turn around and welcome people. We don't have that greeting time anymore. And we're told to socially distance, so you don't want to go up to somebody that you don't know and go, "Hey, I'm so glad to see you here. I don't know you, but I sure am glad to see you here." You don't have to say, "Are you a visitor?" Because they may tell you, "Oh, no, I've been here 20 years. Well, that's okay. Use other words so that you don't embarrass yourself. "Hey, I've never met you before, I don't think." And something like that. But, you know, we're talking to each other more and more, even in church. And so remember that. Welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you. Galatians, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. Find ways to serve those around you. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as our God in Christ forgave you. Did she say something?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, this one. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works. Do you know sometimes that's all it takes for somebody to step out and do something they've thought about, is for somebody else to encourage them? My biggest encourager, because I would stay in the closet all the time, my biggest encourager is my husband, who says, "You can do that. You can teach that class." I'm like, "Oh, I can't do that." Because my first response is always, "I can't do that." I have to shut that one down. Try to. But, you know, be an encourager to somebody. You see somebody that is thinking about, or that you think could you know, teach a class, teach a children's class, teach an adult class. Could be a prayer partner, could do whatever. Encourage each other to love and good works. And show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Find ways to be hospitable. Find ways to show hospitality. That is definitely a mark of Christ for us. Expose evil. The light shines when it exposes evil. And there may be times that you see evil in your family, in your friends. And there may be times that you have some kind of public platform. I don't know if any of us in this room do particularly, but to expose what is evil, to at least to not back off when someone says, "Oh, I think abortion's just fine. That we don't need those kids." Whatever it is they might say, don't just sit there and go. Expose the evil of it. Be willing to step out and in love expose the evil around us. Because there's a lot of it, and it's growing in our country, I'm afraid. And then give hope. Even as she said, be one who gives hope. Love gives hope to people. That hope is Jesus Christ. And he hasn't told us that we will never suffer here on earth. He hasn't told us that we're going to have a healthy, wealthy, and happy life. That's not the promise of the gospel. But the promise of the gospel is that we will be in heaven with him forever, no matter what we have to go through here on earth, and that he will always be with us. That promise has been since the beginning. God is with you. You know, one time, I think I even still have it here. I love Joshua 1:9 and the promise that, you know, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go. And so one time I decided I'm going to write down all those. Every time I see that, I'm going to write it down on a piece of paper. Well, piece of paper can't hold it. Where is that? I'm pretty sure it's in here. But anyway, I started off with just a little notepad and would start just writing all those little times, because it's repeated in Deuteronomy as a promise to the children of Israel over and over again in Joshua. And then when Jesus leaves, what does he say? "And lo, I am with you always." It's the promise that we have. Because when we become his children and he becomes our father, he is always with us and he won't leave us ever. And the big part of that promise is that we are going to go be with him forever. Not just him being with us here on earth, but we're going to be with him forever and ever. Any questions or comments? Did any of these, if you got to look at our discussion questions, she does have you to reflect on how is my light shining to those around me, and goes through the things that we talked about, the language of praise, listening and learning God's word, doing godly works, loving others, exposing evil, and hoping for the future promise, hoping in the future promised in my salvation. Let me see what time it is before I ask you to say too much. Well, anybody say something in 2 minutes that maybe somebody that walks in the light, that is light, has done to you, done for you, that you think of and you remember very well because of what they've, how it just brought love to you and encouragement to you. Anybody want to share maybe one thing, one person? And I know you're not going to want to share anything you did that somebody said made them feel good or help them. But I know that all of us have those experiences where God's people have surrounded you and taken care of you in word and in deed. Patricia. Weekly, yes. Mhm. Mhm. John gives us a little tiny devotional, but it's an encouraging, and also encouraging us as to what our function is as a choir, is to lead people in worship and praise. Wendy.
Speaking of law firms in college, and he has reached out to his pastor just generic response, but a real pointy way that then the walk in life.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Good. Yes. Yes. Pam?
I think that the people that have
Mm-hmm. Very good analogy. Very good. Yeah, that's good. That helps, because you do. You walk in a room and what do? That has a fireplace and you go to the flame real quick. Now, if it was a burning building, you wouldn't go to it. But a fireplace is that attractive, warming, calming light. Anything else? All right. Well, we will meet next week. We're going to meet the next 5 weeks in a row. I will try to remember. Next week, you are God's temple. Kind of a little different from just being stones. You are his building stones, living stones. We're going to be his temple. Okay? So let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do lift up our thanks and our praise to you. We sing hallelujah and praise the Lord. And we know that, God, you are mighty and awesome, and that you are working in each and every heart of each and every believer. And your Spirit is also working in those yet to come become believers. That is beyond our comprehension, I would say. But we thank you, because we know you're a personal God. And Lord, we know you are the only God, the only true and living God. Idols are made of wood and stone, and the evil one promotes that and works in this world. We ask that you would restrain his evil from our country, and you would pull the tide back, and Christians would stand for truth and righteousness in this land. Thank you for this study. Thank you that we can look and see how we as women are called by you, and you have a very important function for all of your children. And today, as we've looked at what it is to be light, we ask that we might remember that as we go about our daily chores, and that we would shine for you. Arise, shine, for thy light has come. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.